The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listen and engage. The Drex Radio Show, weeknights 7 to 10 on KGO 810.
And away we go. This is what it felt like in 2008 when Barack Obama seized the moment.
It did.
You get a car. Tonight, Hillary broke the glass ceiling. Let's give her credit where credit is due. But I feel like I want a pizza. I feel like I want a pizza.
If Bernie, I heard that Bernie's going to make a speech at 10 o'clock Pacific time. So if Bernie concedes, then I'll say she broke the glass ceiling. I still think that at this point in time, she hasn't been nominated, and so it's presumptuous. And maybe that's why I'm not feeling, you know,
You're not
anything.
Feeling the love for Hillary.
I'm not really at all. And Thurston. You would think I would, but I'm not.
Bernie made a promise, which we'll see if he keeps it, that he would not withdraw until after the primary in Washington, D.C., 1 week from tonight. That's the last primary. And he said he wants the people in Washington to have that chance. And Hillary's people have said, go ahead. But we just heard very interesting report, and that is that Hillary's campaign manager and Bernie's campaign manager had a long talk today. And so they're figuring it out.
Well, and they want to go after Trump. Hillary went after Trump tonight, if you missed it.
Donald Trump is temperamentally unfit to be president and he's not just trying to build a wall between America and Mexico. He's trying to wall off Americans from each other. When he says, let's make America great again, that is code for let's take America backwards.
And there you have it. 808-0810 is the number. How is it? Is there any way to stop Donald Trump at this point? What do you think? 415-808-0810. And let's go to the phones as the lines fill up here. We are stacked. And we'll start here. Let me see here. All right. John in San Leandro.
Yeah. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you
for calling.
Hi, John. All right. Now, you know, Miss Thurston, I love you. I call you a couple of times. I agree with you on everything.
I hear a butt coming.
but you know, because you're into my girl. I got to see. I'm you're into my Hillary. You, Ron Owens, and the other couple of guys, y'all so quick to point out all the negative in Hillary that what she did do, the good that she did do, it doesn't even exist. Because with you guys, all you guys see the bad.
Well, I will tell you this, John.
Let me just finish one more statement.
All right.
That's what you were right. Because that's, in my opinion, because I listen to y'all every day. Yeah. I go to sleep with KGO. Yeah. You feel me?
Right.
I'm the only one go through the hood blasting KGO. Okay, well, look.
Well, do more of that, please. Yes, yes.
Do you
spread the love. Yes.
I do.
Hey. But now, look, because I'm going to tell you. Now, this woman, to me, as far as I can see, I'm an African-American male.
Yeah.
This woman just stood in front of humility, butt naked, with everybody looking at her about her husband, when her husband cheating on her and all this. She lost a fight that nobody else wanted to wage except for Kennedy. And that was when she first fought for everybody to get health care. She lost the fight. But she got in there and she tried to do it. You don't see that woman standing strong. You see a woman who will tell a lie. Not just even though she might lie for something that's minor and something that all right, the woman told her daughter, okay, I think it's some terrorism. How many other people? Now, if somebody, when I go home, I go tell my son, and after I got pulled over, I just said this white pulled me over. You think I would say that on the phone?
But you're assuming what it is that I oppose Hillary Clinton for. And it's not what she says to her daughter, and it's not what she says to her husband. It's the policies that she has embraced over her career. Those are the things that I don't like. But I will tell you this, and I tell you with fervency, that she is head and shoulders, light years, actually, above Donald Trump when it comes to assuming the role of the presidency. I agree that Donald Trump would be not just a disaster. I mean, I think it could be absolutely catastrophic for the country and potentially for the world.
And on that point, we will take your calls. 415 outside the Bay Area, 808-0810. Pat Thurston sitting in with me tonight. John Rothman, we're having a round table. We're having a good old time, and we're waiting to see what happens here in California.
Oh, yeah. Have they done anything yet, or they're just saying
too early
to call?
Too early
to call. Okay. Let me see. James from Morgan Hill.
Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you for calling.
Hi, James.
Hi, Pat. Pat, you and I have met, and I have nothing but the utmost respect for you and your law degree, and you're actually really cute, too.
Well, thank you, but I don't have a law degree. I'd like to think I do, but I don't.
Oh, I thought you were an attorney.
No, that would be Christine Kraft.
Oh, okay. Well,
but you can play one on the radio.
And often I do.
Yes. All right. You're way off base. You're not a journalist. You're a talk show host.
That's correct.
And quite frankly, if you're going to go against Hillary Clinton's
Excuse me, I don't mean to interrupt, but we want to bring you this bulletin. At this point, only 1% in, Hillary 61.6%, Sanders 37.5% here in California. Only 1% of the vote in, though. Okay.
All right, so I had perfect timing. Pat, I really do appreciate you, but you're way off base area. If you're because if you're going to go against her policies of a lifetime, you have benefited from her policy. She has fought for women's rights. First of all, I should
What did Hillary do for women's rights?
I should introduce myself. My name is Dr. James Savarese. My sister-in-law is Lori Jean of the LBG Foundation in L.A.
So what did Hillary Clinton do for my rights?
Pat, look at Drex in the eye.
I'm looking at him.
Tell him you want to put the GOP back in power so he can no longer have the rights about living in alternative. You cannot be that much of an
idiot. Don't do that. Don't do that. We don't want that. All right. Thank you.
Well, I don't know how much Hillary's actually fought for LGBT rights in the first place. I mean, she was one of those people who, in the beginning, was very opposed to marriage equality. She was very opposed to it. And Bernie Sanders was not. Bernie Sanders was
I just have to tell you, there is no point. Barack Obama opposed marriage equality.
Yes, he did. Yes,
we have to be very clear now. The primaries are over. Hillary Clinton is going to be
Washington D.C.
Hillary Clinton is going to be the Democratic nominee for president. And if the Democratic Party snipes at each other, if the Hillary campaign cannot attract the Sanders supporters, we're in trouble.
Well, you know what? Y'all are trying to bully me into supporting Hillary Clinton.
No.
There's not a one of you who called in and you're berating me and saying, oh, you just got to get real. You got to get with the program. You know what? Tell me why. Why should I support Hillary Clinton when I have been so abused during this entire primary process by all the people who support Hillary Clinton?
You just said yourself that she's still light years ahead of Donald Trump.
Yes, so she is.
When it comes down to it and you need to pick one.
But I don't need to pick one.
You don't need
I
to
live
pick one.
In the state of California, which is a blue state, and I don't have to pick Hillary Clinton. I may, but convince me. You know, give me a reason to vote for her. I want to vote for somebody who I can actually believe in. I don't believe in
we
her.
Have five you know, we have 5 months to.
Do I have to put like
that? Let me just point out, there were people in 2000 who made the same comment in the Gore-Bush race. And let me tell you, a President Gore would have been very different than a President Bush. We have to learn.
Yeah, well, don't bring up Florida, John, because Florida was a mess. Chads, it was a crock. Yes. It was rigged
they
from
the
get-go,
the
and Al Gore won that state.
I'm not arguing with you about that. I believe it, too.
We agree on that.
What I am saying is that when you look hard at what we're facing in November, by the way, more results in now, Clinton 63.2. Sanders, 35.3. The point is
1% reporting.
Yep, but here in California and across the country, the decision is made. And although I, like Hillary Clinton, will say that Sanders has every right to stay in for another week, every right to have his rallies, the whole nine yards, once this is over, we have to move on.
But I guess my point here, and maybe one of the reasons that I'm not all enthusiastic, my point is that it's not over. The primaries are not over. It may well be that Hillary Clinton is presumed to be the winner. She's obviously ahead. She's obviously got the superdelegates in her pocket. But the people in Washington, D.C. have not voted. And I frankly resent it when you tell people in the primary process before the other candidate has conceded that their vote doesn't count.
It's all not right. That their vote doesn't count.
It doesn't count.
No, no. It counts.
How?
But it's over.
How does it count?
It's over, Pat.
Then why should they bother?
It's over.
All right,
it's
kids.
Over.
Time for a break so I can stay on time. You're a talk show host. You know what time it is.
It's
Hillary Clinton's time. It's Hillary Clinton's time.
All right. We'll be right back with more. All the phones are filled. 808-0810. And let's take a look at traffic. Lee Graham, tell us something good. Election night, primary night in the state of California on the Drex Radio Show, along with Pat Thurston and John Rothman and all of you. All the lines are full, and we're talking it out tonight. Hillary has made a speech actually claiming to be the presumptive nominee, and the polls closed 22 minutes ago. And where do we stand in California, John?
In California, with 4% of the vote in, 63.6% for Clinton, and 35.3% for Sanders. But we should point out it's early. And these are preliminary results, so there isn't really a trend yet, and so we're not prepared to call it neither of the networks.
Okay, and we've got a lot of calls, and of course, Pat is very upset that she made that speech before the California vote.
Yeah, and
vote
you know,
was...
and if the numbers stay like this, yes. You know, through California, and then she made the speech, you know, I could probably
be more
accept it. Yeah,
right.
But being in California and before the polls closing, her making that speech, and more importantly, what AP did yesterday, that I think was really sleazy.
Egregious, yes. And
I'm going to say I disagree profoundly. It is the job of the media to report
the news.
And when you can total up numbers, you can't conceal them from people. It's wrong.
Well, this was the Fox anthem today, that they're just reporting the news. But yet, when they were doing their roundtable and their chatabouts, they were saying things about Donald Trump and the Mexican judge Fuhrer. They were saying things like, we need to let that go. Just forget about it.
Right.
But
right,
we can't forget about the emails. But we're supposed to forget about the
Mexican
judge.
And everything else that Donald Trump has done.
Which is ridiculous.
And the Mexican judge, my God.
He's
Do you know how they're trying to spin this?
Can we play
Paul Ryan,
please?
Speaker of the House? Yes, we can.
Claiming a person can't do their job because of their race is sort of like the textbook definition of a racist comment. I think that should be absolutely disavowed. It's absolutely unacceptable. But do I believe that Hillary Clinton is the answer? No, I do not. Do I believe that Hillary Clinton is going to be the answer to solving these problems? I do not. I believe that we have more common ground on the policy issues of the day, and we have more likelihood of getting our policies enacted with him than we do with her. But I do absolutely disavow those comments. I think they're wrong. I don't think they're right-headed. And the thinking behind it is something I don't even personally relate to. But at the end of the day, this is about ideas. This is about moving our agenda forward, and that's why we're moving the way we're moving.
Mr. Ryan, hold on. Donald Trump did not disavow it today.
No, he did not.
He was trying to say it was misconstrued. He did not walk it back at all. Like he's not walking back John McCain, just like he's not walking back the...
Megyn Kelly.
The Megyn Kelly, the disabilities,
right.
The women are pigs.
Right.
He's not walking any of that stuff back.
No, and you have to understand very clearly that the Republican Party is going to repudiate racism. And you heard it today from members of the United States Senate, including Mitch McConnell, who is certainly not the easiest person to get along with. You heard it from the senator from Illinois. You're going to hear it across the board from Lindsey Graham.
Well, they're afraid they're going to lose the Senate.
Of course. And they're afraid of major losses in the House. But it's more than that. What Donald Trump did crossed the line. And I think once you cross that line, it's hard to go back. And I watched tonight.
Well, he's crossed so many, John. He just thinks this, that he thinks he's indestructible.
Let me tell you, when you have the Speaker of the House of Representatives,
it's the
single most powerful Republican office holder, a man who was the Republican nominee for Vice President of the United States, a man who reluctantly but nonetheless did endorse Donald Trump
a week ago,
has to immediately turn around and say,
right,
this is unacceptable. The Republican Party has a serious problem within its ranks. And you're going to see, and I'll predict this publicly, you're going to see more and more uneasy Republicans who are going to simply say, as the governor of Michigan has said, a critical swing state, he's not going to endorse Trump. You're going to see across the board key Republicans who are going to say, no, we're Republicans. We believe in our party. We want our party to win, but we're not going to support Donald Trump.
KGO political analyst Gary Dietrich is on the line. Gary, thank you for joining us.
Hi, Gary.
Hey,
Gary.
Good to be with you guys. Hi, y'all. Yeah, you know, it's interesting to me, Drex. Here in Sacramento, the state capital where I am tonight, there's a lot of nervousness. And to John's point and to what you guys have been talking about here, I mean, listen, it's not just the U.S. Senate and the House. The California legislative races, there's a lot of people, and ballot measures. You know, what is the turnout going to be in November? That's what everyone wants to know, because that dictates so much, of course, in close legislative, House, and U.S. Senate races, and on what's going to be a plethora of major ballot measures this fall, and the turnout could skew those significantly.
100% correct, Gary. This is a real problem, and I was curious, when you talk to the Republican leadership in the Senate and the Assembly, what do they say about Donald Trump, and will they support him?
You know, I think the interesting thing to me, John, is I'm sort of watching breakdown almost district by district. You know, if you're in a swing district that's hotly contested with a Democrat, you have to be a lot more careful, right, than you would be in a highly rural district that skews heavily Republican. I think it's a very delicate balancing act right now. I would say right now, John, I don't think there is a unified approach, just like we're seeing in Washington. It's kind of one by each right now with each member of the Senate and the House. Where am I going to come down on this thing? Is getting behind Donald going to hurt me, or do I have to show some kind of party unity in a district like mine?
Hey, Gary, can I ask you about the turnout today at the various primary states? Was the turnout as big as what was anticipated, or do we know yet?
Well, the thing about it, Pat, is, and this is one of the drums I keep beating, guys, is why we've allowed our primary to be moved back to June. Just absolutely, I think, is astounding.
Me too.
I mean,
yes.
It is absurd. It's absurd to me that we would do that. And the thing about it is, our Secretary of State has now told us, Pat, we have the highest number of registrants for voting in California ever. But the problem is, we're now predicting again about a 45% turnout. Whereas if we'd had a contested Republican primary and still maybe things were going on the Democratic side, remember when Cruz was still in this thing,
right,
there was talk of 70, 75% turnout, and that has dropped way off. And I think we've got to take a hard look. The legislature, the governor, and for heaven's sakes, if it has to go on a California ballot, so be it. We've got to get our primary moved up at least to the middle of the
pack. I totally agree. And I want to jump in here also, Gary, and one of the things I've noticed tonight, even though Cruz and Kasich and all the rest of them are out, still, Trump ran away with it, but still, people are voting for Kasich and Cruz.
Right.
Yeah, some of the numbers are pretty big.
Well, it's a protest vote, guys.
It is a protest vote.
In other states,
there's no doubt about it.
It's a protest vote, and that's what we saw with Bernie. I mean, I was at the station yesterday in San Francisco, and I'm coming, you know, across the Bay Bridge, and the Bernie people were out in droves. I don't know. I'd be interested what John and Simi and Pat, you have to say about this. I think this getting the Bernie people on the Clinton bandwagon is going to be a harder lift than some people are trying to make out.
Yes, and we'll take those calls. 415-808-0810. Gary, let's hang on here a second, and then we'll be back with your phone calls. I know that everybody's been holding forever. I apologize. We're going to get to them as fast as we can. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Drex Radio Show on the next generation of KGO 810.
And it's a really big shoe tonight.
It's just me, myself, yes. And I. No, it's me and everybody. Pat Thurston joining me in the studio, and John Rothman and Gary Dietrich, KGO political analyst. Everybody's here. on the line. And Gary, I want to play. Let's play Hillary because she made a speech earlier and basically saying she is the presumptive nominee. But she did mention Senator Sanders. And let's listen to this.
So many of you feel like you're out there on your own, that no one has your back. Well, I do. I hear you. I see you. And as your president, I will always have your back. I want to congratulate Senator Sanders for the extraordinary campaign he has run.
Okay, so, you know, she mentioned his fight for the progressive vote, and she also addressed the millennial crowd, and that's where Sanders' base is.
Well, it is, and I think the important thing right now is to see, you know, does Bernie continue to push her, Drex, towards the convention where she's going to have to adopt some things that maybe she doesn't want to. You know, she keeps banging on, we can't have free college, but then she'll go back and say, but we're going to make college affordable for all. I'm just curious to see, does Bernie continue to press the issue? Maybe he doesn't continue to say, I'm in there for the nomination fight, but does he continue to press for platform issues and for emphases and for party, I guess you could call them directions, Drex, that force her into a direction that may not be helpful to her in the fall? I think that's the big question going forward for her.
I really think that she's going to need to do these things. All right, let's take some calls here because we've got everybody holding forever. We'll start with Toby and Tiburon. Good evening. You're on KGO. Thanks for holding.
Hi. I just want to remind everybody that Bernie won 20 states, and it looks like he's winning more this evening. And those superdelegates in those states did not declare for Bernie, and they went against the will of their voters. So those superdelegates in those states are very vulnerable right now. People are really, really angry. And as far as Hillary is concerned, she is the most vulnerable candidate we have ever run in this state. As a Democrat, she's terribly vulnerable. She has issues over her head, pending prosecution, pending investigations. It's absolutely ludicrous and crazy that she has become the candidate for the Democratic Party.
All right, thank you very much. And Pat would agree with you that she should have at least waited until these primaries.
Well, and as far as the superdelegates are concerned, I hate it. I think it's a stupid thing to do. But John and I were talking about this before you went on air, Drex, and he was telling me, I was not aware of this, he was telling me that if you eliminated the superdelegates in their entirety, so nobody got superdelegates, then the number of delegates that any candidate would have in order to be the nominee by pledge delegates would be lower. And so Hillary Clinton still would have met that threshold.
Yeah, and that's the thing that people have to understand. I've been on the winning side and I've been on the losing side. But in the end, you have to keep your eye on what the goal is here. And if Bernie Sanders had emerged as the Democratic nominee, the Democratic Party would have united behind Bernie Sanders. Even as 8 years ago, the Democratic Party, deeply divided in the Hillary Clinton-Barack Obama battle, united behind Barack Obama. And I believe, and I may be wrong, but I believe that Bernie Sanders is going to do precisely what Hillary and Bill Clinton did. He is going to campaign his heart out, and he has said that the major objective is the prevention of Donald Trump from being president of the United States.
I think so, too. You know, one of the things that I've noticed about Senator Sanders is he always refers to her as Secretary Clinton. Never called her Hillary or never really disrespected her. I mean, it's those sort of small nuances that I feel exactly, you know, going to the point that John's making. All right, let's take some more calls here. Susan in Sonoma, you're on KGO. Thank you for calling.
First of all, regarding this vote your conscience thing, your argument, There's one reason to answer Pat's question why, and it's called the Supreme Court justices. And we are not voting for a king. We will be voting for Supreme Court justices.
Here, here for you. Three cheers. You're absolutely right.
Right.
And the,
yeah,
the president
wait a minute,
is not
though.
King.
But
we got to know that. And, yes, I'm upset that California was cut off, too. But
okay,
but all this is,
nobody
all
said
this is,
nobody said we're voting for a king. I don't even know where that came from.
Right,
but California, but let me just finish. California is a safe state. So if you're not really a Hillary supporter, California's going to go Democrat. It doesn't matter.
Yes,
but a
does.
Strong message can
yes,
be sent
yes,
if you vote
does.
For someone. You can vote your conscience in California is what I'm telling
you.
No, you
can't, Pat.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't.
Yes, you
we
can.
We also have local elections, and people will turn away at 7 o'clock when a winner's announced.
Which is what happened in 1980. Can
right.
I just quickly
yeah.
point
and,
out
and,
to you?
And I hate that part about what's going on in California.
I don't understand that when we're talking about whether you can vote your conscience in California.
The
I don't
Supreme
understand
Court,
that.
The Supreme Court is absolutely essential. I knew Bill Rehnquist. I met him here in San Francisco in 1964. And over the years, he would always remind me that he served with, not under, presidents. Remember, Rehnquist served from 1971 to 2005. Nixon, Ford, Carter, Reagan, Bush, Clinton, and Bush. Seven presidents of the United States. We are voting for the next Supreme Court. And the process of who is next president matters because it is the president who nominates.
California is going to vote Democratic. When was the last time California voted Republican?
When George Bush ran in 1988. But I'm going to say very
George
bluntly.
George Herbert Walker
yes,
Bush.
But I'm going to say very bluntly, I never take anything for granted. And I think you can say you can vote your conscience, but I have a lot of friends who live in Florida who voted for Nader, and look what we got.
You know, I'm offended by this. I think every vote should be a vote of conscience.
Well, for sure it should. And by the way, let's just take a look at California on the Republican side with 29% in. So Trump is way ahead. But Kasich is number two with 11%. So he's got 77%. But Kasich has almost 83,000 votes. Okay, Trump has 570, but 83,000 people are voting their conscience and not voting for Trump.
And that 56,000 sends some kind of a message,
yes,
doesn't
56,000 people are voting for Ted Cruz.
Right.
And let me point out that at this point, with 24% of the vote in, Clinton 63%, Sanders 35.8%, and that is a very significant statement as well. Although, let me point out, we're waiting for Los Angeles County, Alameda County, San Francisco County, which should tip that slightly closer.
Well, right now, Sanders. Bernie Sanders has only won or is only ahead in one of the counties in California thus far.
Which
and
one?
That's Lassen County.
Lassen County.
Gary
yeah.
Dietrich, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to, you know, John's got a lot of, I know, long-term perspective at the presidential level, and I appreciate that, John. And I'm just wondering, John, your thoughts on this much ballyhooed, never before high negatives like we're seeing for both Trump and Clinton.
That's a great
and
point.
And, you know, I think that to me is concerning. It's concerning about going back to turnout, you know. I don't want to see young people or all people turned off to a process because you hear so much these days, guys, in the recent couple of months in particular, I'm not behind any of these characters. So, John, your perspective longer term. We've had candidates that have had favorable ratings, unfavorable, but how about two-party nominees going in where they do now?
Richard Nixon and Hubert Humphrey in 1968. Very high negatives on both candidates, and we saw the result there. In fact, I hasten to point out, had Gene McCarthy jumped in before the last week of the campaign to endorse Humphrey, Humphrey might have won the election. But that would be the closest analogy that I can think of, Gary, very frankly.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I'm concerned about that in a whole variety of ways, like I said. But I'll tell you what, I think a lot of people running for these legislative U.S. House seats and U.S. Senate seats are very concerned about that because we all know top of the ticket dictates so much about that important turnout. And I think there's an awful lot of people very nervous about, frankly, at this juncture, hitching their wagon to either one of these candidates with those high kinds of negatives.
Well, and let me point this out. I feel as though that people are going to think, let's pull the safety switch. So I'm going to vote for Hillary, but I might vote for these Republican candidates over here. Or the Trump people might vote for Trump, but you know, slide some of the Democratic footsteps to the left.
I don't see that, and I'm going to tell you why.
You don't see that.
People are not afraid of Hillary Clinton. They may not like her, but they're not afraid of her. They're afraid of Donald Trump. And if Donald Trump makes the kind of statements during the course of this campaign that he has made in the last week, and if the Republican Party itself remains deeply divided over this question, there is, frankly, no chance for Donald Trump to win the presidency, and that is what Republicans are scared about. They want to hold the House of Representatives. Frankly, Gary, I think they're going to lose the Senate, but they want to hold the House, and that's what Paul Ryan is absolutely determined to do. All of those big contributors who will not contribute to Trump are going to put all of their Republican money into House and Senate candidates in order to try to save the Congress.
All right, I've got to take a break, and we'll be back, and we'll take your phone calls outside the Bay, 415-808-0810, 808-8810. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show, along with Gary Dietrich and Pat Thurston and John Rothman on KGOA10. And with a look at traffic.
What's wrong with being confident?
Yeah, we're being confident. All right, we're hanging in there. So the...
Speak for yourself.
Pat Thurston's not liking the way the California primary is turning out
very
so far.
Very unhappy. Hey, Gary, are you still there? I have a question. Maybe you can answer.
Yes, I am, Pat.
All right. Well, you are the guy here, because I'm looking at the Secretary of State's website as they're giving us the returns as they're coming in. And they say that 9.7% of the state is reporting right now. And on CNN, it says 27% is reporting. The numbers are similar. I mean, in terms of total votes and in terms of the percentages, it's the percentage of precincts reporting to this point. Why would there be such a vast discrepancy?
That I can't answer for you, my friend. I doubt whether CNN is aggregating all of California's 58 counties, so I don't think that is happening. So I can't answer that for you. But I think the important point, I think John mentioned this earlier, I do think it's important for people to understand that we have no idea, Pat, where that nearly 10% is coming from. And there's vast differences, as you well know, around California. I mean, from coastal to inland to valley to north and south, about, you know, where those votes are coming from. So it's way too early, I think, to get anything definitive about margins, certainly, or even potentially victories out of just 10%.
So you're saying I shouldn't be depressed right now?
No, I think you just
hang in there.
Keep the dauber up. Keep the dauber up,
right,
pal.
Right.
Will
well, we were just pointing out, Gary, that we don't know L.A. County, we don't know Alameda County, we don't know San Francisco County. Those are three counties where if Bernie Sanders is going to make major gains, these would be the counties. So we're waiting for those returns, and we are checking. So everybody knows it. The registrar's office here in San Francisco, which has not yet posted returns.
Okay, so
that's a good point, John. That's a good point, because typically, to your last comment there, John, it's those big populous counties, as you know, that typically report last. So because they're so huge and they have so much to process. So I think that's true. Hey, real quick, I want to let you guys know, kind of to John's point before the break about dragging Trump into this whole thing and how it's going to affect U.S. Senate and House races.
Right.
I mean, I heard straight from the horse's mouth a couple weeks ago. I'm at my reunion at the Kennedy School, and they had the head of the DCCC, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, the executive director, said herself, she said, here is our goal, to drag Trump down the ticket. That is exactly going to be our focus. Drag him down into every House race we possibly can, because we think that's what's going to give us the victory.
100%, and that's what Nancy Pelosi is dreaming about. She sees her shot at becoming speaker again in scoring a major upset in the House of Representatives across the country.
And Trump did speak tonight. And by the way, he says, let's take a listen to this cut. He says that he's going to bring the party together, but
my goal is always again to bring people together. But if I'm forced to fight for something I really care about, I will never, ever back down, and our country will never, ever back down.
Well, and then he went on to talk about the Mexican and the Muslims and the judges.
He's Mexican.
He's not from Mexico.
In my opinion.
He's from Indiana.
If it were a Muslim judge, would you also feel like they wouldn't be able to treat you fairly?
It's possible, yes. Yeah, that would be possible, absolutely.
Maroon.
Okay. Yeah. So.
And you know what they're going to do?
He's trying to be the victim now.
The spin that they're giving is they're saying he's calling out the racist.
Right.
It's the judge who's the racist. It's not Donald Trump.
He's trying to become the victim.
Gary, I think you'll agree with me. If I were the head of the Democratic Party, I'd take all of these comments that Trump is making and all the comments that Republicans are making that are critical of Trump, and I'd roll them into ads all through up until November and let the Republicans blast him and assure a Democratic victory.
I am sure, John, that those are being cut right now as we speak.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Right. Yeah. All right. 415 is the area code. As the sun goes down and we broadcast all over the North American continent on the West Coast, we're taking your calls, 415-808-0810. Maybe perhaps your state has not reported in yet, but we're talking about it. And we go to, let's see, let's...
There's got a projection from CNN. Hillary Clinton wins South Dakota Democratic primary.
All right.
CNN's projection.
Eric, in Folsom, good evening. You're on KGO.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Hi, Eric.
Thank you for holding.
No problem. I know that Pat, this is a while ago, but she was looking to get somebody to convince her why she should look towards Hillary.
Right. Why should I enthusiastically support Hillary Clinton?
Enthusiastically, I would say because right now she's a viable candidate. She knows how to compose herself in a public forum. She knows how to compose herself with foreign delegates. She has experience in that avenue. And she has shown that she knows her way in and out of the White House. And
give me something related to policy. You know, the fact that she's lived in the White House, that she can talk to people, that doesn't play with me. Give me policy. Give me something she supported that I can go, yeah, I'm behind that.
Well, I know that she did do the policy with she was trying to do health care. It didn't eventually go through, but she was on board for that. That was a big one.
Oh, that's a big one.
And I think you have to give her credit for
this.
Thank
you very much.
You can't serve 8 years as First Lady of the United States, 8 years in the United States Senate, and 4 years as Secretary of State, and not have a working knowledge of how things function. And I think there are many.
I'm sure she does know how things function, but that's not the reason I want. I would support her because, I mean, she voted for the war in Iraq. She wanted to bomb Libya. I mean, she's a hawk. So give me something I can glom onto. And the health care thing, great. When she was First Lady, she was pushing for the health care thing. But now she lied about what Bernie Sanders was attempting to accomplish, making people who are on Medicare fearful that he wanted to take away their Medicare, when instead what he wanted to do was to expand it so that every American has coverage. So, you know, there was all this nonsense that was put out there. You know,
Pat, you've got to start making the case for Hillary Clinton.
I don't have to stop making the case for Hillary Clinton.
Or we're going to find Donald Trump as an effective candidate.
No, I want somebody to make the case for Hillary Clinton to me. And I don't want it to be that I have to hold my nose and vote for her.
Pat, can I help you out just a little bit?
Okay.
This is your best comeback right now.
All right, Gary.
Listen, the guy that happens to be in the White House right now, how much experience did he have?
None.
I mean, he was a first-term U.S. senator.
First-term U.S. senator. He was a rookie.
I think, you know, and what ignited people, his charisma, his sense of hope, and the issues that he thought he was going to fight for. Well, so, Pat, I'm just trying to help you out here a little bit.
Well, let me help, too. Do you want Donald Trump holding the nuclear football?
Okay, I'm going to say this again. Donald Trump would not only be disastrous, but potentially catastrophic. But California is a safe state. I can vote my conscience. My conscience right now does not support Hillary Clinton. That's what I'm looking for. You know, tell me that I can vote in good conscience for Hillary Clinton. Right now, I don't feel like I can.
Let me ask you this, Pat. If the FBI would come out and say, you know, no crime, no foul, we're done with the email investigation, might you feel a little bit better?
No.
There will be no indictment.
No. That's not what I object to. Right. Well, I mean, I do object to that. But I think she's corrupt, and I think she's a liar, and I think that the policy, she's a hawk, and she's, you know, somebody who's in bed with the banks and with Wall Street. So all of these things are the things that I have issue with. I mean, during the Bill Clinton administration, she was behind much of the support, like Graham Leach Bliley. I mean, she was behind this sort of stuff. She's behind NAFTA. She was behind these things that now she's no longer behind because Bernie Sanders got so much support by saying he wasn't supporting them.
All right, we'll take more of your calls. Area code 415-808-0810 is the number to the Drex Radio Show on KGO San Jose, Oakland, Sam.
Upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose Masterforce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from Masterforce today. Check out all our Masterforce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save